Hello, welcome to Game Slave Podcast, episode 165. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week has been exhausting. Mostly it has been not geeking out on anything, and being painting and
sickness.
Yes.
I went back to work regularly.
Yay!
For those that don't know, my daytime job is a federal contractor. So, while my contract was still in effect during the shutdown because of the way budgeting was done, I found out that I'm not big on staying at home for 2 weeks straight.
So you were working from home the whole time?
Yep. Me and 90% of my team were at home the entire 2 week period, taking phone calls, answering emails that came in. Which translated to about 5 a day on average.
I'm sure your puppy liked you being home.
Oh, he loved me being home for 2 weeks. Didn't know what to do when I started not being there.
So I guess the geeky thing that we kind of did, at least, there's lots of interesting just random anime on Hulu that a lot of them are like, I don't know if they were simulcast things or at least things that Funimation's picked up and at least has subtitles. And one I found was Kamisama Kiss, which I'm going to say roughly translates to either God's Kiss or Kiss of God or something. But basically the premise is a high school aged girl loses her home because of her dad's gambling debts and he takes off. So she's homeless on the street. She saves a guy up in a tree from a dog and he kisses her on the forehead and gives her a map and says, go to this shrine, you can stay there. You deserve this home more than I do. And so she goes and does it, and she finds out this shrine's kind of a little run down because nobody really goes there. And she learns she inherited a land god's power. So now she's the new land god of this region, and she has familiars. Particularly, she has two will-o'-the-wisps who sort of minor spirits that...
They're associated with the shrine, not her.
No, they're associated with the shrine. They guard the shrine. But then there's Tomoe, who is a kitsune, who is, you know, a fox demon, basically, who is supposed to be contracted to be her familiar. So he's the one who does her sort of basic day-to-day duties, helps out with the shrine, keeps her protected, especially now because she's a human land god. So it is so shoujo, it hurts. We got all the sparkles, we have relationship angst. Yeah. Because it's only 13 episodes long, and her whole quest is learning how to kind of become a land god, and her and Tomoe start forming this relationship where eventually she comes to like him, and he's like, this isn't a good idea, because you're a human, I'm a fox demon. This isn't going to work out. But maybe it will. And it's shoujo, too, because you run into other spirit characters. There's a Tengu.
And they're all pretty
and
men.
Yeah, and Mizuki, who's a snake spirit and all this stuff. And they're all pretty, pretty boys who all want to just serve Nanami, the main female character, and do whatever she wants.
It's also Dragon King wasn't very attractive.
He was odd. He had horns and he was missing an eye.
Well, he is a Dragon King. It sounds like he'd be the one to get in a fight the most.
Well, he was weird. He kept ledgers of who owes what. He's very much keep things square sort of guy. But yeah, it was all about relationship angst, I think, in this show. It was cute. It was fun. I hadn't watched anything sort of fluffy like that for a while. And Proteus ended up watching it with me just because I started it one night and just kind of kept going because I didn't want to do anything else. Because it'd be getting dark and cold and
Well, just wait until daylight savings hits and we go from it just being, you know, dark early in the morning to it being dark ridiculously early in the afternoon.
Oh, it's both. Both.
Well, it'll just
be lighter in the morning.
Oh, yeah, it'll be lighter in the morning. Oh, but I hate it being dark so early at night.
You just need to get up earlier and then have, you know, light in the morning.
I am neither a morning nor a night person. This is very hard for productivity. Unless I have copious amounts of caffeine, then I can be a night person.
Honestly, sometimes you don't seem like a midday person because you go to take a nap when I come over here.
It's only on Sundays. It's really weird. Sunday afternoons, I'm like, it's nap time. The rest of the week, I'm fine. It's just Sundays. Can't tell you why. What else did we watch? I thought we watched something else. Or maybe I was just telling somebody about all the stuff that they should watch. Oh, I watched more Silver Spoon. That's what I did. It was my own personal watching. I was explaining to my cousin, it's like Harvest Moon if it was an anime and you were going to school. It's really interesting. It's just, you know, it's learning some stuff about agricultural and farming and cattle raising and poultry raising and stuff I just didn't know about farm animals and don't name things that you're going to turn into bacon. So you need a little piglet pork bowl. Did he need a little piglet pork bowl? Because he's going to become a pork bowl someday.
You know, I actually had a friend who grew up in Oklahoma, and they named the animals lunch and dinner.
Yeah, because if you start naming it and treat it differently, it's harder to kill it and turn it into bacon.
My parents had technically it wasn't my parents, it was my brother, but my parents ended up taking care of it. They had a cow in their backyard. They called it cow. And eventually cow was very delicious.
Yeah, gobbler was very delicious too. We had him for Thanksgiving. He was a huge turkey.
Man, we're going to piss off any vegetarians. Well, not necessarily vegetarians. Vegetarians are usually understanding. But any PETA people. Or vegans that are... Or outspoken vegans.
What was your mom's rooster?
Charlie. Was it Charlie? I think so. He was a smart rooster. He would come when you called his name and he would peck at your buttons and yeah.
He got ate eventually, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he got ate eventually because he got a little... Old. Little, well, old and little high strung. He sometimes would like to dig his spurs into people.
Ooh. Sounds painful.
Roosters have really long toenails on the backs of their feeties.
Anywho, we're way off topic. Anime that I've been watching, because I never watched it, I've started to watch High School of the Dead on Amazon Prime. I had it in my queue forever on Netflix, and then just recently I realized, oh, it's gone. And this is why I should not wait to watch anime until somebody else is ready to watch it. It won't get done.
I'm so surprised Care Bear wants to watch it, because I'm surprised I sat through all of them, and I'm like, ugh.
Well, I went to go watch. It's like, okay, I'm going to watch it. It's like, oh, I want to watch that too. Okay. So I waited. Well, now it's... I waited too long. So now it's on Amazon Prime, but it's only in Japanese with subtitles. They don't have the English dub on Amazon Prime.
You have Funimation, though, right?
But it's actually by Sentai. It's not a Funimation title.
Okay. Yeah, we watched a few episodes that were up there. And the premise is interesting, the story is interesting, but there's too much fan service. It gets bad. That's one reason why I stopped watching Rossio and Vampire. It's just, no, I'm tired of seeing all his girls' underwear all the time. I can, you know, a panty shot here or there, it's like, okay, this is stupid, Japan, but all right, I'll, you know, take it, because the rest of it's strong enough that I can overlook some, you know, panty shots. Or boob jiggles.
What about just in, the Kami-sama Kiss, the, you know, Ichigo Pantsus?
Oh, yeah, well, that was by accident. Yeah. It's not there nefariously in a shoujo. It's different when it's in, you know, fan service type of shows where all these girls have unrealistic proportions and boobs don't move that way. And we don't always wear underwear like that all the time. Sorry, lace and frills get uncomfortable after a while.
Well, when you're in a zombie apocalypse, you wear what you can get. That's the one defense I'll give them. In a zombie apocalypse, you wear what you can get. But the reason why I'm actually deciding to watch it is not necessarily for the fan service. It's because some of my other friends who have watched it said it's actually not a bad show once you get past the fan service.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, this is cool. It's in Rossio and Vampire. I thought the premise is cool. A human going to school with monsters and can't be found out. That's a cool idea. It's just that it gets bogged down by everything else. And, like, well, this show is not meant for me again. Hooray.
It's not bad. It does seem to drag on a little bit sometimes, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mentioned last week that I'm playing Pokemon Y. And I have gotten far enough where I can actually start doing the Mega Evolutions. And I have technically 3 Pokemon that can Mega Evolve, but I only have 2 in my party right now. Venusaur and...
Lucario.
Lucario, thank you. And it actually is handy. It allows me to, it does, I have noticed a definite increase in power when I do it. Although, Hummingbird was joking about, so what, they gave him a new hat and new gloves?
I was also joking that they basically do the same thing as the Digimon.
Yeah.
For the
Lucario Digivolve 2! Mega Lucario! Yeah, it is pretty much that if Digimon were a video game. Well, probably is a video game. I've just never actually seen it.
Yeah, it's like watching the Did anybody else kind of try to watch the Monster Rancher anime?
Yes.
HBO Fox. I watched a couple episodes and just like, it wasn't very good. But then there's a Monster Rancher game. And when I saw the anime, I was like, oh, as a game, oh, that could be actually really cool and fun. It's boring as all get out, at least the first couple games that they released here. And I'm like, It basically, Monster Rancher and Digimon to me are the, let's catapult on the Pokemon thing, and it just could not execute it very well.
Well, in Digimon's defense, it made 2 seasons with the original cast, and then they actually had another series come out sometime after that.
Yeah, the anime's cool. I'm talking about video games, though.
Yes.
Anime's okay. It's a little stiff, and it's slow to start, but it had some, you know, interesting ideas. I would catch it from time to time on Fox while I was waiting for other things to pop on afterwards.
I did like the one thing I found online one time talking about. It's like, so what if Mon is just their file type? That's why every single one ends that way. It's like, that makes sense.
Because they are digital monsters, so.
Anywho.
Are you liking Pokemon?
I am. As I said in the before, it's the first time I've played it in years.
Since high school.
Yeah. Since sophomore year in high school. And keep in mind that we had our 10-year reunion 2 years ago. So it's been a long, long time. I mean, I like how it's changed. I do like the fact that the battles seem a little more interactive. I mean, there's still some stuff where one person moves and then the hit just happens. But they do seem a little more interactive. Like, there's this one Lucario does. It's like an aura blast. And basically, he just kind of powers up for a little bit. And it does this neat thing with the bat. It does this neat color. You know how Japan likes to do their color swooshes. And then he punches the aura forward and it hits the other. And then you see it fly through the air and hit the other Pokemon. Or like Pikachu does a lightning orb thing where it gathers in front of him. Then he jumps up, hits it, and it flies to the other creature. So they're definitely a lot more interactive than they used to be.
Yeah, because the old ones is like, such and such uses this attack, and the Pokemon on the other side goes, and then it's like, it did this much damage, it was effective.
It was super effective. Or, it didn't do much.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I did finish Blue, way back in the day, I did finish Blue, and then, yeah, I got White, too, but I barely started, and I'm like, oh, Pokemon, you're so long. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I have the commitment to get so many Pokemon.
Well, the advantage of it being a mobile platform and not a console is you can do it on the go. I mean, technically, you could pick it up, play it for 10, 15 minutes, save, put it down, because you don't have to go to a save spot. You just pause it and hit the save button. So it does. There is an advantage to that there. And if you're just doing the single player, you don't need to grind your Pokemon. The normal way you just go through everything will be enough for the single player from what I've found so far. Because I haven't done the power leveling on my guys yet.
That was what was so hard even in the first one, is getting a good rotation of team.
Yeah, I remember trying to get a Caterpie before I got to Brock's gym. I had to beat up so many bugs.
Yeah, I mean, I had
a Caterpie. That's like the only area that you have. You have that little bit of a highway with all the grass and the bugs, like all the Weedles and
Caterpies.
And I was trying to get the what's the moth? With the Caterpie.
Butterfree.
Yeah, I was trying to get.
But you gotta go through a middle stage there too.
Yeah, where it can't do anything.
It could do stuff.
As a Metapod?
Yeah.
It can use Harden.
I think it had Tackle, too. Oh, it didn't? It has Tackle now. I don't know how it works.
You just, the trainer just, you know, like, throws the Metapod at the other
Pokemon, and it bounces back after it hits it.
Yeah. And the new one in the first area you go through, it's actually a rather large area with a bunch of different grass sections. And I got a Metapod, a Weedle, and a Pikachu in that area. And then both the Metapod and the Weedle about evolved at the same time. And an early item you get actually is called XP Share. So the
see, that solves all the problem right there.
Exactly. First, the experience is split. Is a certain amount of it is split among the Pokemon that actually fought. And then the rest is split evenly among the ones that did not fight.
Okay.
So it helps level up the Pokemon that you're not using as much to still give them
some
fighting chance.
And so you no longer have to do the, you know, stupid thing like leading your party with
Magikarp.
Yeah, so that he basically is like, go Magikarp! Come back, Magikarp! Go someone useful!
And sometimes, sometimes I'll put somebody, it's like, I just want to play with them for a while. It's like, oh, you're really weak to them. Come back, let's have this guy go out.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's. I mean, I'm still enjoying it. I'm enjoying some of the stories so far. Team Rocket. Keep in mind, I don't know what the other ones were. People. Last time I played, it was Team Rocket. Has been replaced by Team Flare, who want to make sure they're happy and they don't give a damn about the rest of the world.
I never heard what the other teams were. It was like Team Galaxy?
I think it was Team Galaxy at one point. I don't know. See?
We haven't played any of those games. And then people always complain, like, why is there no Pokemon MMO? Well, I mean, in this one, I mean, you have an online capability. You can battle guys that are online. You can set up friends with your DS. If you set up a friend on a DS, there'll be a friend in the game if they have it as well.
So you can do Pokemon battles with your friends. I guess it's just not...
You can be competitive.
It's not a persistent world.
Yeah. Pokemon MMO would be, to me, kind of logistically challenging.
What would you do for, you know, multi-person cooperative
things
exactly?
In this game, there are... there are attacks where, you know, they'll put out two Pokemon. The enemies will put out two Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then, like, there was one where I fought with one of the other people that started from my village. I actually don't have a rival. I just have friends that started with me. So we ran into these two Team Flare guys. So I put out a Pokemon. She put out one. And then we, you know, would give them each orders. They would do their orders. And it was a normal battle that way.
I mean, more like, you know... What is the analog to a dungeon or a raid in a Pokemon MMO?
Yeah.
And the purpose of Pokemon is for you to get and raise Pokemon to battle other people. It's like... It's just be constant Pokemon battles all the time.
I mean, would you really want it to be like, you know, oh, we're going to go, you know, grind, you know, Vermilion Gym for Ghost Pokemon or whatever.
So I'm just saying, I don't see a reason for the Pokemon MMO. I think the way they are making the current Pokemon games internet aware is good enough.
I mean,
the only other thing I heard that would be interesting is it would almost be like even on your phone or some sort of, you know, handheld Wi-Fi device, you buy the thing, you store it on there. If somebody else has it and you cross their path, you can break out of battle. Or if you're like in different parts of cities, like wild Pokemon appear that you can catch in certain places. So when you go to...
I mean, they already kind of have this thing. It's
the Pokewalker. Well, the Street Pass, they didn't implement it that way.
Well, they just need to implement it in...
a grander, bigger way.
Because right now, all you get when you do Street Pass is you get a Pokemile, which you can then spend with this guy in the main city.
What do you get for your Pokemiles?
I forget. I haven't looked. I had to look it up today.
They are full of blackout dates.
I had to look up today. Wait, well, just use Fly. I had to look it up today.
Articuno would say Rhino or Pidgeotto. I can't remember which one I stuck it on. I use a Pidgeotto a lot. He was an excellent flying Pokemon.
And one of the things I suggested, like, just have a, you know, HM slave that you just, you know, give them all to. That way you have one, maybe two Pokemon that have a lot of these, and then the rest of your are for your battles. So, like, I have a Lapras that has Surf and Smash. He smashes rocks and he gets me through water.
Yay!
Yeah, you just have to find the ones that can use, you know, multiple HMs.
Well, I was surprised when he could use the Rock Smash one. I'm like, he's a water Pokemon. Oh, he can learn that.
Well, Lapras is a big sort of dinosaur.
So it is interesting to, you know, pulling him in a battle, though, and just seeing him, just seeing this big water Pokemon just drop onto land. It's like, how do you even move?
It's like, I always imagine Walrus.
See, I see more like Sea Turtle. Lion.
Oh, yeah, he has kind of more like flippery.
He's more like Sea Turtle. He's like,
Overall, it's entertaining. They also have something called O-Powers, which you can either set to yourself and it'll give you a bonus for like 3 minutes when you go into battle, or you can actually apply it to somebody else random in the internet. And the more you use them, the more powerful they become.
Okay.
You can also do what's called a Wonder Trade, where you just pick a random Pokemon from your box, and it will be traded with a random Pokemon of somebody else online.
It's going to be full of Bidoofs. Or whatever the equivalent is.
I haven't gotten a duplicate Pokemon yet doing it. So like sometimes I'll
Is it a random computer selected one from your box?
No, you choose which one you want to do, and they choose which one they want to do.
Okay, yeah. So they randomly go to the rats.
I haven't gotten a single of the rats. I actually have been looking for a Rattata. I have not seen a Rattata. It's like the first time I walked in the grass, I expected, you're attacked by a rat. Look, a wild Rattata. Didn't happen. I was actually kind of disappointed.
I find Bidoof more amusing to use as the example just because they're so goofy looking.
And his name is Bidoof. He's a doof.
It's like a beaver rat. I mean,
beaver bunny. His tail's kind of poofy, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. They're weird.
There's just so many Pokemon kind of now. Derpy. I don't even know all the Pokemon.
There's 700 plus.
Are they like all in X and Y now?
I really don't know. It's a possibility.
Because there's, I mean, I thought they had a lot of stuff from the original generation in X and Y.
Well, I know they have some of them, because, I mean, I've gotten original generation.
I've kind of wondered about
the numbering now, because Bulbasaur's not number one. He was number one in the original Pokédex.
Yeah.
But when I look at my Pokédex, he's not number one. It's like, so did they renumber the Pokédex for this?
Well, probably, because, I mean, one thing is that they've added all of the, like, pre-evolved forms for a lot of things, like Pichu.
I mean, Bulbasaur was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, Squirtle was, like, four.
Squirtle was four. Charmander was seven. So I just wonder how that works. I mean, I understand the other stuff might change, but I just remember those ones.
Yeah.
Anywho. But yeah, I like the game. If you have a DS, it's not a bad purchase. So as I said, fortunately, it's something you can pick up for a little bit. Now, when you get to some stuff, there's some reading if you want to know the story more, and the gyms basically are no longer, you just walk in, find the gym leader and attack them, like I think it was in the original one.
I think you had to beat their,
you had to beat a couple trainers.
Yeah, okay, now you have to beat like 3 to 5 trainers when you go in.
Yeah, I think it was maybe like 2.
Yeah, one or so. 2, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah,
at least it could give you a preview of what to expect from the trainer, especially like
all the different Pokeballs you have now. I was not used to that. I had one Pokeball. There was a Pokeball. Then I got the Pokeball, the Premier Ball, the Great Ball, the Other Ball, the Dive Ball, the Dark Ball.
There was the Master Pokeball.
They had levels of Pokeballs in the original one. Yes, they had like 3 or 4.
It was only like 2 or 3, yeah.
I have like eight different types of Pokeballs.
There was like Pokeballs, I think Super and Great.
Oh, and Master. That's right. Masters were like the guaranteed capture.
And there was only like 2 or 3 of them in the game.
And you saved it for Mewtwo and Mew.
Well, Mew...
Or you used...
Mew was a special download.
Or you used the item replication sheet.
For the original?
For the original, you had to go to Nintendo events to get Mew. Mewtwo, yeah, you saved it for Mewtwo or the 3 legendary bird Pokemon.
Or you used the item dupe cheat.
Yeah, that works really good too for duplicated Pokemon.
And rare candies. All the rare candies. And then you just like stuff them in someone's mouth. You're like, you're going to get all the levels. All right, level 90 Alakazam.
Yeah, the only problem with doing that cheat is that you could easily corrupt your game and lose everything.
Yeah.
Never had a problem.
I never did. I didn't go too crazy. I was like, I'll have a good stack of rare candies. The other thing I learned is that leveling things from rare candies is not the same as leveling them from experience.
They're not quite as powerful because you're artificially doing it.
Yeah.
Ah, Pokemon.
And then let's see. I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
For just a little bit at least. And then I finished playing Assassin's Creed 3, got through the entire story and most of the side quests. I didn't collect all the feathers because I don't think I've ever collected all the feathers in a game. I don't think I'm going to start now.
What, has Assassin's Creed 4 come out?
It comes out the end of this month.
Okay. I've seen previews and I'm just like, oh, when did it come out?
Little spoiler because I doubt you two care about the story because I don't think you've played any of them.
No. Somebody explained.
You will say words and I have no idea what they mean.
Yeah, somebody explained part of it to me one time and I'm like, what the freak did you just tell me? Because that made no sense. So,
background, Assassin's Creed 1, I have no clue how that ended because I didn't beat Assassin's Creed 1, nor did very many people because it had a ridiculous difficulty curve. Like, eventually you could not walk without the, you cannot walk past the guard without being like, it's him, get him!
I didn't do anything! You kicked a pebble!
Exactly, it was like that. It's like you were constantly just running from the guards.
Yeah.
And despite being, what was odd about the start of Assassin's Creed 1 is you're the best trained assassin, but you got into trouble, so they took away all your training. Somehow you forgot how to do everything, even though you were the best trained one of them, and you had to slowly relearn it all.
They hit you upside the head and you got amnesia?
It made no sense to me.
Guys, this works for Samus when you can have, like, her power suit get ripped apart. It does not work for a person who does not have equipment.
So,
take away his daggers! You don't have daggers anymore. You gotta punch people to kill them.
Actually, sometimes I did not use daggers. I just actually... there was an option to not have daggers in Assassin's Creed 3. Probably 2 had it too. So I just walk up behind somebody. Choke them to death. So, although typically that was the non-lethal option because you just kind of choked them until they passed out. Oh, and then they'd be writhing on the floor.
So you're not doing, like, the, you know, the head staff.
No, it's like you're just cutting off the air supply.
Right.
But, yeah, it's... In Assassin's Creed 2, you find out you're looking for this golden apple, and you've escaped Abstergo, who is also the Templars, the Assassin's ancient enemy. You play Assassin's Creed 2 and the second Assassin's Creed 2 game in order to find out where the apple is. And at the end of Assassin's... Well, yeah. Basically, there was this... In the Assassin's Creed series, what we refer to as God and all that was actually what's called First Civilization. And they actually did make humans as laborers. And then we kind of revolted, overtook them. And at the same time, this great Earth-wide calamity happened where the sun ravaged the planet and caused the death of their civilization because they weren't able to stop it. They were close, but they weren't actually able to do it. So then, we find this golden apple, which lets us into this cave, which is where Assassin's Creed 3 starts, because you're at the machine that will stop it, but you can't get past this big door, and you have to go through Connor's life in order to find where the key is buried. Because, it could be anywhere in the world. You want to actually know where to look. So I got through that. They found the key in the grave of the guy who taught Connor's son is where Connor had buried it because he didn't think anybody would grave dig there. Which he was right. It was still there, 200 years later. So they get through. They stop the great calamity from happening, save the Earth, and end up releasing one of the first civilization people to have her way with the world. So Assassin's Creed 4 is somehow going to be how Desmond lived through releasing her, because supposedly she was supposed to kill him when she did that, and how he's back in the Animus to go through this to find out how to stop her is my guess.
Whee! So yeah,
I enjoy the gameplay of them. I'm enjoying this overarching story that they got going on, provided it's not a very big part of the game, because a lot of it is the story of the individual assassin you're playing. I still want them to finally have an assassin that was of Asian lineage, that we know the Asian lineage in Desmond's past, so we could have, something in ancient China or something in ancient Japan. I think that'd be a fun game. Poison to shurikens.
Poison darts.
Well, I mean, they already have poison knives or stuff that they throw at people, so it wouldn't be a far cry to say it's a shuriken in ancient China. And, I mean, at least then they'd have, you know, they could climb all those giant temples that they had there.
Different old Chow. Some interesting changes.
Exactly.
I haven't played any, so.
Like, here we're doing, you know, the Caribbean mostly. So they're really playing a lot with the ship mechanics they introduced in the in Assassin's Creed 3, which I found them kind of difficult at times, but it took me, like, half the game to get a hang of it when I actually had to use it, which wasn't often. But now you're a pirate, so you're probably going to use it more often. But I'm still looking forward to it. I enjoyed it. Connor was, so far, the unluckiest of the assassins, I think. He had a habit of being like, okay, I have this great plan, and it going to complete crap on him and getting him nearly killed.
Whee!
Happened twice. One time he's like, okay, I need you to shell this place so I can sneak in there. And of course, one of the shells happens to land right next to him.
Hooray!
Made it very hard to fight once he got in.
Yeah.
And another one, it was like right near the end, he's chasing the last guy he has to kill on a burning boat that was being made. Falls through, and he manages to... He basically lands with a spike in his stomach. He manages to somehow pull it out and live through that. And he shot the other dude, who then, you know, hobbled away while he was dealing with mortal injuries. Managed to, you know, live through that, find where he went to, and this was, like, almost all cutscene now. It's like, you get to where he is, you find him, you walk in, he's sitting at a bar drinking, he sees you, you walk up, grab a chair, takes a swig, hands it to you, you take a swig, and then you jam a knife into his throat. In all fairness, he killed your mom at the beginning of the game. It was kind of like, okay, I'm not living through this. I might as well be a little cordial and offer him a drink first. But yeah, Connor's just unlucky and probably the least stealthiest of the assassins I've seen so far. And I think a lot of people's problem with he wasn't as interesting an assassin as Ezio was. He was a lot more revenge-based than the previous assassins were. Ezio started revenge-based, but then realized there's a lot more going on. So he has to put the revenge aside and do something for the greater good. Connor, it was constantly about the revenge. I mean, there's some stuff like he was trying to save his people, the Indian tribe he was with. Well, it's history. Everybody knows that that didn't end well. But for the most part, he was all about killing Charles Lee and Jeff. And that's all I've got.
The thing we have is we finally broke down and bought a Wii U.
Yeah, Wind Waker Collector's Edition.
Now, just until it stops being a paperweight is when you'll be set.
Yeah, I just haven't had the chance to set it up yet.
It's only been
2 days.
2 days since we bought it, so.
Day and a half.
And we weren't, Zelda Queen wasn't home at all yesterday, and I was busy painting. So.
Yeah. But I'm excited to try out Wind Waker in prettier form and...
With some improvements that make it easier, such as faster sailing, faster pulling stuff up from the ocean, not
wind
flying.
Always being at your back.
No, you have to get that item.
Yeah, but at least it's always at your back once you get the upgrade sail.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Wind Waker actually was a pretty good game. A lot of people undersold it because of its cell shading. But that's not a bad thing. It had a good aesthetic to it.
Yeah, it had a good aesthetic, and it's going to age well, and it's still fun. It's something different.
Yeah, it's something
about... my strategy half the time, when I was trying to figure out what I was doing in a room, was just to like flip the camera around and look at Link. It's like, okay, where are his eyes pointing? Because that will tell me where I need to look and figure out something. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the problem with photorealistic games, when they try to make it, you know, somewhat realism graphics. Until we reach that uncanny valley level of graphics, there's always going to be games that don't age well. Like, let's see, what's a game that didn't age well?
Here recently?
I'm just trying to think of just
about everything for the 64, actually.
PlayStations don't look good. But this is early 3D, so... Yeah. I mean, Ocarina of Time, great game. It does not look very pretty now. Ocarina of Time for the 3D, just putting textures on the surfaces vastly improved things.
Yeah, so, I mean, having its own unique art style helps it age better.
I mean, that's why lots of people don't mind going back to 8-bit and 16-bit games and such, is because they had an aesthetic.
Yeah.
Realism isn't everything that
it could be.
It could be.
And once we reach the uncanny valley, then it'll be just like, okay, I can't tell the difference between this.
Well, we've got to get over the uncanny valley.
Valley is a point where it gets creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we which a lot of times...
Which is basically like all those, you know, person bots coming out of Japan lately. It's just like...
Well, and I remember somebody... I was actually watching something on this, and what a mocap director was saying is the problem... What people need to do is they need to take their mocap that they're doing, and they actually need to delete some frames of it. Because when you have it just the pure mocap, apparently, it looks... The eerie one, like Golem, I guess they deleted a bunch of its animation frames from the actual mocap in order to get it as smooth as it did.
Too much capturing of information, I guess. Well, it's just a weird human thing. It's like, it's this thing, like, if it's like, they said that's why the, you know, robots in Star Wars, C-3PO and R2-D2 are kind of endearing, because they have human-like traits that you can relate to, but they don't...
still obviously robots.
And then you get to this point and you start getting to the uncanny valley where it's like, it's a human thing that's having human traits, but it doesn't look quite right. You know, it's like, you know, subtleties in the face or, you know, like movement or something. You're just like, something's not quite right. And so it flips up a flag and you can't trust it. Even though it's very human, you start not relating to it. Which is really, I mean, it's superficial art part. It's like, ugh, it's... looks are unappealing, but it you know, it repels us a bit.
So yeah. Yes. We'll see how the next generation of consoles actually does with that.
Yeah, I'm just like, I keep feeling like I'm being left more and more in the dust on stuff, because I'm like, ooh, PS4 and Xbox One.
Well, in all fairness, you've never been an Xbox or PS3 person. You've been a Nintendo girl.
Yeah, but I didn't... PlayStation, PS2... They were good systems. They had a lot of good games, especially the PlayStation introduced a lot of new things, especially RPGs. They had a lot of different RPGs that especially my brother and I loved playing. The Harvest Moon that we liked the best is actually the PlayStation version.
Hmm.
It had the right balance of everything, and I have not played a Harvest Moon that has captured that balance since then. I mean, the closest I've gotten to is actually Rune Factory.
Hmm.
And it's not even... It's Harvest Moon meets... Dungeon Crawler. So, yeah, and PS2 too had some really great games for it, but then when it started hitting the PS3 and the Xbox 360 stuff, it was more and more about, look how pretty things are, look how pretty things are, and oh, here's some more shooters, and here's some more shooters, and oh, we're just gonna make all these games like dark and grisly, and I'm like, games don't have to be dark and grisly all the time.
I think you'd be happier with some of the stuff that it's obviously not advertised as well, but it's more of the marketplace stuff.
Yeah, there's littler things that I like more from indie developers that are more appealing. And that's why I love my DS. It has a wider variety of stuff, and it has those weird quirky things that you're like, huh, I wonder if this is interesting. I think it's mostly people aren't taking as many chances with crazy stuff because it costs too much anymore to make a game. And if it flops, people are out of jobs. Mm-hmm. Studios go under. It's a totally different, you know... thing than before. It still, you know, happened back in the day even. I mean, that's how Square... Final Fantasy was named Final Fantasy for a purpose. It was their last game. If it didn't go well, the studio...
It
was going under. They had, like, several other games they had done before that just didn't sell very well or weren't very good, and... Yeah, they were, you know, couldn't believe how well their success was, and so they kind of kept going. And so I always found it funny. It's like, why is it called the Final Fantasy? Why is it the last? Because it literally could have been the last.
I was like, well, guys, if this doesn't work, this is our Final Fantasy of being game developers.
Yeah. And I don't, it's, you know, sometimes too, I was like, I love Zelda games, and I can't believe how much I keep. You know, there's certain formulas that it always follows, it always does, but I still enjoy it. It's like coming back to an old friend. And they always try some different stuff like Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass. They kind of took some chances with that, and I know some people didn't respond very well to it. I will give you the Ocean King's Temple and Phantom Hourglass is a pain in the butt, so you literally have to start over every time you go into it, and they make you revisit it several times.
Oh, yeah, that was a pain in the ass.
Spirit Tracks is not nearly so bad, and I like that Zelda had a little bit more of an active role, and yes, okay, Link is a train conductor. It's a little weird, but at least they tried something different.
Well, in all fairness, if you've... spoiler alert for those that never finished Skyward Sword, they are different reincarnations of the same people, but it doesn't mean that they're going to have the same jobs every single time.
Yeah, and Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass fit in the timeline with Wind Waker. Because they're in a new Hyrule. It's not even the same Hyrule. Yeah. Totally different place.
Makes sense where all that water from the Skyward, whatever they called it.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. I always thought it's a magical island that the goddess released. It, her magic spontaneously makes water, and it falling to the ground turns into clouds. We'll just, put some science with the magic there. Just, the world wasn't underwater because you go down to it.
Yeah. The water does still have to go somewhere eventually.
It's magic water. How does it keep replenishing itself up on an island floating in the sky?
That's true.
I wish they would have had more islands in the
Where is your geology now?
It would be neat if there were more, island villages up there.
It felt very sparse. That's one thing I will say about Skyward Sword. It felt sparse. There wasn't a lot of
Where does the balloon game guy go at night? Does he commute back to, the village?
Well,
he's like halfway on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Beetle has his own island that he takes his house back to.
And there's the Pumpkin Island.
Which is an inn.
Yeah.
You could sleep there. But my thought is, if you have an inn, and you only have a one town, why do you stay at the inn? It's for travelers coming back and forth.
Okay, this is going to be me taking this the worst way I possibly could, so my apologies for that. It's a small town. There's no way for you to get away with your significant other with the kids or something, so maybe that's the purpose of that of the inn.
But there's not a lot of kids. There's not a lot of people.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So,
it's
not
every tradition of Zelda games to not have very much town or people.
No, I think
Link to the Past had a village.
Had a village. Because my thought is that you only look at about a little portion of Hyrule. You're not going around everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's one reason the first game feels so huge is because there is no town. You're stuck in the wilderness. You find these random people who are kind of hiding out in places.
And they yell at you when you break their doors.
Well, you have to burn things down, too. I mean, so it was a lot of exploring and not a lot of explanation. Twilight Princess, at least when you go to Hyrule Castle Town, it felt like a town for once because there was other random people there. You don't need to know everybody's name. You don't need to know all the life stories of everybody in the game. But just having other things there.
Bar.
Yeah, I mean, there was some more interaction. I'm looking forward at least to Link Between Worlds because I really like A Link to the Past. That's my all-time favorite. Ocarina, yes, revolutionized the way Zelda started doing, but Link to the Past will always hold a special place in my heart forever and ever and ever. No other Zelda game has been able to top it.
Now you get to rent your hookshot.
We'll see how that works. I always had too much money. I never knew what to do with my money. I would go randomly spend stuff just so I could keep getting more rupees later because I kept finding so much money. Twilight Princess? Was Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword? I'd find treasure chests that had money. I would leave the money
Twilight
behind.
Princess, yeah, you'd just put it back. You'd be like, well, you can come back and pick that up later. I'm like, no, you're going to leave a chest blinking on my map and I'm going to be confused when I'm trying to the rest of the dungeon.
I'm like, well, it's getting left behind because I'm never going to need it. Okay, I'll stop going on my rant now.
That's alright. I've got nothing else to add, you guys?
Nope.
Alright, well, you can visit us at thegameslave.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thegameslave, Twitter at thegameslave, or if you search thegameslave on Google+, we're there too. In the meantime, you all have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.